With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
New activation and upfront payment for 3-month plan required. Taxes and fees extra. Additional restrictions apply. See mintmobile.com for full terms.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
New activation and upfront payment for 3-month plan required. Taxes and fees extra. Additional restrictions apply. See mintmobile.com for full terms.
Jonathan Pearce.
Eric Cantona has jumped in and seen a kung fu kick, a man.
Terry Alderton.
Do you like shoes, madam?
And friends. JP.
The mad side of genius.
And T.
Good to meet you, love.
The football friendly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to JP and T, the football friendly. The new season starts. Mr. Alderton, how's your summer been?
Oh, it's been great. I've been doing gigs again. I've been out doing gigs. Having people go, tell us a joke, mate.
Well, the season has started, and we're going to start, as we started, the whole of JP and T, the football friendly,
yes,
with our very, very good friend. And I travelled the world with him, and he won the title with Blackburn Rovers, and he was a legend at Fulham, and he was a legend at West Ham United. He played a couple of games at Crystal Palace, and he worked with me on the radio at Capital Gold, and we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed. And his name is Mr. Tony Gale.
Tony Gale, TG.
Thank you, JP.
Oh, cheers. No, thank you, Terry. All right, that's all right.
I said cheers, Tel.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise that. It just cut out on me. There we are. Anyway, how are you, Gailey? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. And great to see Southend flying high.
Mate, two wins. We're going to win the league, aren't we? It's back. We're going to be up in the professional leagues again. It's unbelievable.
Just shows you, no training, nowhere to go in pre-season. It's the way to go, isn't it?
It's the way forward. Everyone's going to be doing it. It's going to be like Moneyball. I should play the Brad Pitt part.
I want to take you all the way back to 77-78, which is your debut season, start of the season, because what was it like for you? Bobby Moore retired, and I just wonder what was the awareness? You come in to replace Bob at Fulham, but what was the, oh my God, there's no more Bobby Moore playing football in England. What was that feeling like, Tone?
Oh, I think the feeling was, well, that Tony Gale's on the scene. No worries.
No problems.
But I did have the, as you know, Jonathan and Tel, I did have the pleasure of following Bobby everywhere, didn't I? So I did Fulham, did West Ham, and I even followed him with yourself at Capital Gold. So that sort of thing for me, when he did retire, was quite commonplace. He kept retiring and kept putting me in the cart everywhere. And I was picking up the pieces, like working with you in the end, Jonathan. But no, he was brilliant. To the footballing world, I think it was just all astounded that he didn't get a massive job after that. That Bobby didn't go on to maybe be like a Franz Beckenbauer of Germany and, you know, go into the hierarchy of the FA or even take over as manager.
Let's go back. Just, I need to jump in on there because he did go somewhere big, didn't he? He went to Southend.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
He went to Southend, and I remember being a kid actually in the dressing room, and they said Bobby Moore's going to come in and give you a team talk. And 15 years old, it's like, oh my God, Bobby Moore's standing in front of you. But what was really freaking me out, because even my dad didn't even swear then, and he's effing and blinded, and I'm thinking, oh, this is brilliant. There's an adult swearing. It's fantastic. But what a thing to have as a kid seeing Bobby Moore. So to have him as an actual peer and teammate is stupid. Well, you weren't ever teammates, were you? But you know what I mean.
What was the best bit of advice he gave both of you?
For me, not a lot of advice actually, Piercy. But I was told by my footballing mentors, Bobby Campbell and Ken Craggs, who was a sort of assistant or one of the coaches at Fulham, but who was also in charge of the apprentices. Just watch, sit there, watch, listen. And do, you know, try and copy as much as you can of Bobby. And that was really, that was just a pleasure to do, wasn't it? And I had the pleasure of him taking me back in his car from training. You'll remember it because he had a yellow jack, didn't he? And he had to go all the way to East London, but I was in West London. So now and again, the coach would let me off early just so that I had 45 minutes in the car with Bob. But I never spoke. I should be honest. I was like, you know, you just speak when spoken to when you're in the presence of someone like that. But I made sure that he dropped me off at Lupus Street, where all my mates used to congregate every time. And I got out of that car there. Although I was hooking myself talking to him, I wanted them to know that I just got out of a yellow Jag with a 1966 England World Cup captain being my cab driver.
He used to insist on driving me to the commentaries on Capital. He wouldn't let me drive, and he used to drive the big car. And he always used, because he said I used to do the work as a commentator. So he just sat there doing the car. So he would do the work driving. Anyway, and Rob Watton, who's been on Sky for years, came with us in that chair. He sat in the front. I sat in the back. First car we'd ever been in, or Rob had ever been in, with the electric heated seats. So we're heading up north somewhere, and 20 minutes into the journey, Rob's tapped Bobby on the shoulder, and he's gone, Bob, I don't know, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what to say. And Bob's gone, what's the matter? He said, I think I pooed myself.
Oh, yeah, electric seat. Heated seat,
He's got my smack. He said, I think I pooed myself. He says, it's the heated seat, you daft bollocks. So, anyway, and what going back to Fulham days, because the theme this week is obviously start of the season. What happened at the start of 79-80 with Malcolm? Because he suspended you, didn't he, with Malcolm McDonald? What was that all about? Didn't he ban you?
No, he didn't ban me. He called me into the office. I obviously got into the first team very early when I was 16 years of age. I was captain when I was 18 years of age of season professionals at the football club. So I think maybe I might have got too big for my boots, and I don't mind saying that. You know, sometimes you get in a little bit of a comfort zone, don't you, when you know you're probably one of, or if not the best player in the football club at the time. You know, in the team at 16, taking over from Bobby. Captain at 18, under the managership of Bobby Campbell. And then when Malcolm came in after Fulham were struggling, he probably thought this guy needed a kick up the arse. And looking back, I probably did, because I maybe had become a little bit too big for me boots, being one of the better players at the football club. And, you know, just got my feet under the table slightly. So he called me into the office, the manager's office, and he went, look, I've wrote down a list of six things that I know you can't do. So you can't head the ball, you're not very quick, you ain't got a left foot, you blah, 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 blah. I sat back there like that and I thought, I better retire then, didn't I? I better retire. I'm as bad as someone like Terry Alderton at Southampton.
Hey!
I better retire. because I always had something to say for myself. I always had a little bit of a chirp, which it sometimes can get you in a little bit of trouble. But he dropped me for a game, an FA Cup game against Cheltenham, and they lost the game. Lost it 2-1, and the guy who took my place had a little bit of a nightmare, actually. And I was back for the next game. But from that game onwards, my career, although it had started really well and just tailed a weeny bit, it went onwards and upwards. And Malcolm was brilliant for me. Absolutely brilliant. And he told me why he brought me into the office and then started to tell me six things I could do rather than I couldn't do. And I could do very well. But he was brilliant. Malcolm, I'll never forget Malcolm. He's a great man.
But it's a good thing. There's a saying, isn't there? If you know your shit, you're halfway to being good, aren't you? And there's no point in telling someone they're brilliant at what they can do good. Tell them. And obviously, you went on to win a Premier League medal. So he was right.
And what was that pre-season like, start of the season? I think it was the 11th of August, 1986, when you signed for Blackburn. Because you literally got a telephone call from West Ham had freed you, hadn't they? And you got a telephone call from Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah, I've been promised a contract by West Ham. It was my testimonial year, the 10-season things or 10-year thing that you do. And I've been promised 2 months before the end of that season that I was going to have a 2-year contract. So I played all the way up to the end of the season. Played on the Saturday against Southampton, the last game, and on the Sunday was my game against the Republic of Ireland for my testimonial. Anyway, I came into the ground and they told me they weren't going to give me a contract now. And that kind of put me in shit street, if you like. I was a bit lumbered because they told me that late. And I then had to go out and play. All my family are there and I was on a little bit of a downer on the best day, which should have been in my life. But it didn't affect me then. But in the pre-season, obviously, I didn't have a club, so I had to keep training. So I trained with Barnett, with Ray Clements, who was manager then, and Terry Bullivan, just to keep fit, because I was out of contract until a team came in. Anyway, I'd had offers from America, Japan. Didn't fancy doing that because I had a young family. And it was 2 weeks to go, and still no one had come in with a positive sign. I could have signed for lower league clubs, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to hold on.
What age were you at this point in time, sorry?
I was 34. Right, okay. So I then played for a guy called Fred Callahan, who Jonathan will know, and you may know as well, Terry. He was a Wildstone manager, and he said, do you want to play in a round-robin tournament against Farnborough to keep fit? I heard you're struggling and you can't play games because of this contractual situation. I went, yeah, I'd love to. Played in the game, came off. That was on a Saturday. I got a phone call Saturday night from Kenny Dalglish and Ray Harford, who was the assistant manager, who I had the link with at Fulham under Malcolm McDonald, funny enough. And they said, look, we've got a shortage of players in our squad. We need you to come up to Scotland immediately. We were playing Celtic on the Sunday. I had already played on the Saturday. We're playing Celtic. You've got to get yourself up to Hampden Park. So I zoomed up there with my dad, got on the plane. My dad used to come everywhere with me. He sat in on the pre-match lunch with all the lads. A taxi driver from London, a black taxi driver, sitting down with Shearer, Sutton, Flowers, Dalglish, Harford, having a pre-match meal with them. Played the game against Celtic, and they said, right, we'd like you to sign for us on the Tuesday, sign a year's contract. I said, oh, I'll have to think about it. Let me think about it. Yeah, I'll have it. Didn't even speak about the money, to be honest. And I made my actual debut, which was really strange, against Man United the next Saturday in the Charity Shield. Wow. And I'd never played at Wembley before.
And start of the season, did you know you had the team there to win the title?
Oh, well, yeah. I actually, when I signed and I went up there in that midweek in between the Celtic and United games, I spoke to the chairman, Robert Corr, and he went, how do you think we're going to do this season, you know? And I went, well, I said, you know, obviously you went very close last season, but I think, you know, you're going to do it this season. And he said, why? I said, well, you've got me, ain't you?
Yeah. And,
they just signed Chris Sutton as well at the same time. Chris Sutton was, I think, a record signing for him then. And so Sutty ended up playing up front with Alan Shearer, the SAS, and things blossomed on. I think it was only three of us who signed. Myself, Chris Sutton, and a guy called Robbie Slater, who was an Australian international. But I ended up rooming with Chris. He was about 22 or 23, me being 34. I think we were like the odd couple, but I'm still friends with him to this day. He's a lovely fella, so.
He's funny, man. Did he come from Norwich at that point, didn't he, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, he did. He did come from Norwich. And he came replacing, although Mike Newell stayed in the squad that season, he came in to replace Newley. But Sutty was, such an underrated player. Worked really hard, good touch, backing into defenders. It was actually a nightmare for defenders. He was the perfect foil for Alan. They were, at times, those two were unplayable.
Well, he was the last of that old school thing where you stick him in the back as well. He could go and play centre back and then stick him up front.
Yeah, well done, Tell. Yeah, he did. He played centre back, and a couple of times he reverted to that position when we were had players sent off or whatever. He went back in the centre back position. But I think at Norwich they're a little bit undecided. But when you got a geezer who starts scoring goals like he was at Norwich, you don't stick him at the back.
My old mate Spinner might have been there then, actually. Spencer Pryor was probably at Norwich at that point. But anyway, I digress.
He played with Chris, he did.
Yeah.
You mentioned Robbie Slater there of Australia. I just wonder if you've been watching the Australia-New Zealand Women's World Cup. Let's talk about that.
Women's World Cup. Yes, Tony, after the break, we'll talk about that.
JP and T, the Football Friendly.
JP and T, the Football Friendly, Jonathan Pearce, Terry Alderton and Mr. Tony Gale is with us. And just before the break, I asked you a question. You have to be honest on this. So I'm very interested. I've been involved in women's football now for, 11 years? And I've loved it, and I'm involved with the Women's World Cup right the way through to the end. Have you watched any of it? Are you interested in it?
Of course I'm interested in England. excuse me, Jonathan. Of course I'm interested in England and how we do. And I want us to do well in anything we do. You know, whether it's women's athletics, football, swimming, whatever. You want us to win. But I haven't been impressed with the quality of this World Cup, I must admit. I've been a little bit disappointed. It's the England games I've been watching. But we know that you can't play well all the time in tournaments. But it's been pretty scrappy, to be honest. And the goalkeeping errors have alarmed me. And I heard the commentators saying that, the goalkeeping standards are better than ever and whatever. But I think it's been a little bit overhyped, if I'm honest. The women's football, this World Cup, has been overhyped. Don't think it's helped with the scheduling in Australia. And if you want to watch the games, you've got to watch it at 9 o'clock in the morning, or 11 o'clock is the next kickoff. Of all the teams that I've seen who played it the quickest and the best, probably one and two touch football, it was the Japan team. I thought they were very good. But of course, all the favourites seem to be getting knocked out. But of course, I want us to win. It's going to be great for the women's team. But if we do win the World Cup, or even if, you know, I haven't got to semi-finals, it's still good anyway. I don't think the standard has been that good. When I look at the men's football and then I look at the women's football, there's still a long way to go with the ladies. But again, having said that, it's come on a million miles from where it was before, but it's a long way to go.
It has, and I've done 2015 World Cup in Canada and 2019 in France and this one. And I would agree with you that the standard of the top teams hasn't kicked on. USA poor, Germany poor, France had their moments, Japan were decent in bits. I hope England prove me wrong, and I hope they go on and win the World Cup. And if they do, they will go down in history. I don't think the team has so far been as strong as the team was to this stage in France or in Canada. I know they're missing key players, Beth Mead and Leah Williamson and so on, and the suspension for young James as well didn't help. But that's where I am. The standard of the teams below has risen. There's no question about that. They're squeezing the difference, but it doesn't help for me. I don't know what you think about it, Terry, but when Infantino, president of FIFA, says, it's the best World Cup ever, the gates are up. Well, they weren't at one stage when he was saying that. There's more goals than ever, and they weren't when he went at that stage when he said that. And I just let it be. Let it be. Let it grow in its own way. You know, don't force the growth by overhyping and in the same way that at one stage the EFL, the Football League, when it first went separate and was on television separately, and there'd be television programs about something. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Look at the stand. You're thinking, no, you're overhyping it. So maybe that's a fault of the trade, my trade. I don't know. But it's been fascinating to be involved, and I'm really interested in what you think. What do you think, Tel?
Well, I'm the same as Tony, actually. I'm exactly the same with the fact that, you know, it's because of the time. If it had been on a more appropriate time, I would have watched a lot more of it, to be honest with you, because I do enjoy the ladies' game, I'll be honest. And you saying about the quality of the lesser teams have come up, well, I agree with that. And I thought that in the last Men's World Cup as well. I think the last Men's World Cup, I think the lesser teams have come up. And that's why we're seeing the likes of Croatia now in the sort of final ends of the tournaments and what have you. And, you know, I think a lot of world football has come up. If you look at the American game as well, that's come up hugely as well. That was like nothing. I mean, when you were asked to go there, Tone, that was kind of that typical... No disrespect to you, but you were 34, end of your career thing, wasn't it? It was the graveyard of top talent, where now, of course, Saudi Arabia seems to have become that with huge money. But with the women's game, I think it's a tough one, isn't it? It is a tough one. I think Tony's right. If we get to the final, I bet you the final, if we're in the final, we beat Australia and get in the final, that game will be... By far the most viewed. People will then watch the final. They probably will watch the semi-final as well.
Oh, they will.
But I think the time thing is the big issue here. That's the big issue.
It's a killer, and also FIFA need to recognise this, because there's always been hopes that Australia, New Zealand, and maybe one or two other nations down there in Oceania could host a World Cup. A men's World Cup. I think it's important that FIFA learn from this. You're right about the time zones as well, because FIFA have had hopes, and Australia certainly have bid for previous men's World Cup, that men's World Cup would be held down there. It affects the viewing figures, and therefore it affects the revenue they can get from sponsors. They've got to take note of what's happened here. Millions and millions and millions will watch the England semi-final.
In you saying that, though, Australia and New Zealand, you know, we alienate those countries from the world game then, in a way, don't we? If we say,
I think, you know, Australia have shown they can host a fantastic tournament, and New Zealand, so they need to work around it and how to work around it.
But how do you do that?
If you want a World Cup, you've got to stage games at fairly awkward times for your country.
What? So we're kicking that off at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, you've got to work a way of doing it, Terry. What I'm saying is, no, you don't need to do it that huge difference. I mean, look, England's games have been kicking off at a reasonable time. But they scheduled kickoffs down under to fit the United States of America, so they were kicking off at 8:00 in Europe to fit America. So they can work it out. They've got to work out better than they've done at this moment in time. But let's just move on to something away from the women. The last thing about the women, I would say, and I'll ask you for a comment, both of you, on this.
Okay.
They've got to take criticism, because at the moment in the media, If you feel you're going to criticise the women's game, you feel as if you're going to be a pariah. You know, why? We criticise the men's game all the time. They want the success, and I've been privileged to be part of that. Privileged. You want the success, you want the extra money, you want parity, you've got to take the criticism. Haven't you?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
most definitely. And I think they've got to find a way of being self-subsidising as well, because, you know, I'm a big... fan of non-league football as well, and sometimes the FA take the monies out the coffers and support the ladies to the detriment of the non-league. The FA trophy money and the FA Cup money gets less for those clubs to try and survive in the non-league. The ladies hopefully are going to get to the stage where they're getting however many they're getting in the crowd and they're getting the good sponsorship in. But I think if you're doing anything, any branding or whatever, surely you can only give the players the money that they're generating. The Premier League generates absolute fortunes. So those Premier League players and the managers and everybody else, that's why they get the big money. The ladies have got to get up their game a bit to get there. I'm not talking about on the pitch, up their game everywhere else.
I get you. Yeah, but you know what, on that though, if it isn't working, why keep pushing it? They've been given every single chance for people to go and watch them on the weekends. The ladies' game has been given so much hype, and it's been given so much, hype's the wrong word, sorry, publicity, you know, and rightly so. But if people aren't going to turn up at the gate, then they're not going to turn up, are they? If people aren't going to be into it, they're not into it. And that's it. We shouldn't force an issue, you know.
And also, I do think you're going to get better and better with the ladies because the kids are going to play at a younger age, the ladies. Yeah,
and brilliant. And that's all good. That's all good.
That's the big plus. I mean, they've all got the heroes of watching these ladies now. So, I mean, obviously, the boys and the boys football that we all came through, which was just a natural course, and the way it's gone with academies, if we can get that with the ladies and it's all self-subsidising, brilliant. And we'll get a lot better players for it because they'll have so much more better facilities that they're going to get now and they can parade their skills like that. But it's got a long way to go. It has got a long way to go. But they've got a lot of thanks to do to the men's game as well. And Jonathan, you're exactly right, Terry as well. When they play bad or the standard isn't all that, we've got to say. You know, I took it on the chin when I was 15 years of age as a kid. Like, so surely these ladies could take, I'm sure they could as well. I'm sure they could.
It's a message for all them watching on. I used to slaughter Tony Gale when I was commentating on him. He was awful. He couldn't run. He couldn't pass. He couldn't do this. He couldn't head the ball. There's six things wrong about him. And then he became my best mate. He became my best mate, and we travelled the world.
I've been rode out then.
Can I just mention that we became such good mates, Tel, that my book is out on September the 1st. Yes. My book is out on September the 1st. Sorry for dropping a big plug in here. And guess who done the foreword for it? Jonathan himself. Where I have drawn the line is, I don't want a picture of him in the book.
Look, what's the truth is, Terry, I'll tell you the truth there, right? He wanted George Clooney to write the foreword of the book, so he got the next best thing. That's it.
I get it. Looks and so, everything. Just tell me something. So the book is going to be out on, obviously, on the old tree stuff, the old paper, and also, I imagine, on all the electric books as well.
Yeah, it's going to be out on everything, yeah. So you can get it off... you can pre-order it on Amazon. I have.
Of course you can.
But I will expect to see you two at one of my book launches.
What you need to do is you need to do an audio book. You need to do an audio book, and I will do it. I'll read the book out. I'll do the book. All right? I'll do the reading for it.
No.
10 grand an hour. 10 grand an hour? 15?
Can I ask you about Roy Hodgson the weekend, by the way?
Brilliant.
It was great. I don't even think he was trying to hold the puck. The ball came towards him and he hasn't got the best of controls. It rolled on his right foot, and Roy's a left-footed player, isn't he? And he's when he used to play in his non-league days at Dulwich Hamlet, everybody would tell you, he had a good left peg. But he just got a bit of a shove. But unfortunately, when he shoved him, he caught him in the unmentionables, didn't he? And that's why Roy reacted. It was funny. Yeah. What a man he is, though. What a man.
Yeah, you got to love Roy. He looks like an owl, doesn't he?
It was funny, Matt Slow as well, his reaction. When he realised Roy was having to go back at him, he just smiled. And he saw the funny side of it. And they did afterwards, and I think it was all made up. We're into Palace, then. Let's talk about your predictions for the season. We're only 1 week in. I saw Brighton very, very good, and they continue to bring good players through, and Dingra's the latest one this season. The boy Ferguson up front is unbelievably sensational. He'll go somewhere probably next summer. That's the way they do it. Luton were very game, and they created chances. Colton Morris might get a fair few this season, but at the back, they were awful. And then Brentford Spurs was just a weird, surreal game just bizarre. But Madison played well, and I met him afterwards for the first time, and he was a charmer. I really liked meeting him. And really bright, and he loves the game, and just bright, fizzy character, lovely. Anyway, how do you think it's going to go, Tone? Where would your money go to win
tight.
The title?
It's going
to
be tight.
I think I personally think that Arsenal are going to struggle to do what they did last season, even though they've got better players. They've got better players in the likes of Havertz and obviously Declan coming in. But they had everything kind of went in their favour last year, didn't it? And momentum, everything, the crowd. I think there's going to be a little bit of expectancy down at the Emirates now, which they've got to handle, like they handled the momentum thing last year, how the crowd was like, oh, we've really got a chance. We didn't think we were going to have a chance. So I don't think they're going to do as well as what they did last season. I still think City will win it. But just having a look at City, I think they're probably going to get active in the next couple of weeks. They'll bring probably two or three more in because their squad with De Bruyne getting injured looks a little bit lighter, doesn't it? But they got some quality players, City. Really, really good team. Can't see anyone touching him for the league with consistency.
They want Paqueta from West Ham, don't they? Oh, I don't think he I've seen him play a lot for Lyon. He was terrific.
Prowse has gone there now, hasn't he? Prowse gone to West Ham, hasn't he, today?
Paqueta,
which would again free up Paqueta to go. But I think he'd be terrific at Manchester City.
Jonathan, you got his name pronounced wrong. It's Paqueta.
It's not actually. It's Paqueta.
Paqueta. Well, we're going to get into this, aren't we? Who would you buy your car off of? It wouldn't be Paqueta. It's Paqueta. I just bought my car off Lucas Paqueta.
All right. You know, that's not his name. Do you know what Paqueta? It comes from an island in Rio where they've got animals on there, like big guinea pigs, and they are called Paqueta. And that's where he gets his name from. It's not his real name.
Well, that's like a Corrado, isn't it? That means to run.
Anyway. Where's your money on, Terry?
Newcastle are going to be up there, you know. I think I'm probably going to go with Newcastle this season. And I'd like to see that happen.
Those comments from you, Terry, was still proven to me that you are a great comedian.
You think that Newcastle have got no chance of winning the Premier League?
I didn't say no chance,
I think that young Jonathan Pearce said, "What is your prediction?" And I, to try and make an interesting podcast, I've gone for Newcastle United, right? For me, apart from the Saudi thing, that's a whole different ball game, and I'm not getting into that. I always have had and always will have a soft spot for Newcastle. Who knows?
I'm going to go for Arsenal. I think Man City will win it, but I'm just going to go Arsenal for the sake of being different. Let's talk about Saudi. How dangerous is this for European football, let alone Premier League football? How dangerous? How disruptive is this?
Not yet, but down the line it could be. I mean, they prove that they've got the riches that they can buy anything, quite honestly. They're offering silly sums of money to players who are coming to the end of their days now. So goodness knows what they offer to players who are in their prime. If someone like Mbappe went there or something like that. But I think there are ways off it. I know it's a well-supported thing, Jonathan, but a lot of them are all off the TV. It's not a well-supported thing at the stadiums. So how are you going to replicate the Premier League or La Liga in that kind of sense as well? You can buy as many players as you like, but you won't be able to buy 50,000 crowds, you know.
It's not even that. It's more the point is the old days.
Well,
you know, when we all play football as kids, we wanted to win stuff, didn't we? You know, that's what we were after. We were after winning trophies and stuff. I mean, it's not like it's a trophy you're going to be after in Saudi Arabia, is it? No disrespect. I mean, you're going to want to win the Spanish or the German or the English or even the Scottish, but... Do you get what I'm getting at? About winning great titles and the best titles.
You're right there.
And Champions League. And
Harry Kane's gone to Bayern Munich to win titles, hasn't he? You know, and it's there's still reputable titles over there. I mean, the Saudi League's not going to be a count as a title for me. I think they're a long ways off, Jonathan. Might be not in our lifetime, but you never know. A little bit further down the line.
I think they'll fill the stadium artificially like they did in Qatar. They'll give tickets to fill the stadium so it looks good on TV. Quick word on Harry Kane going. England captain now playing in Germany, Tone?
Yeah, great for Harry, isn't it? I think I was surprised Spurs let it get to that stage. But I think his last contract was the end. You could sense that because I don't think Harry got the greatest deal out of Spurs that he could have got. And obviously, I think Daniel Levy had done a good deal for Spurs there. But it come back to bite Spurs a little bit in the end, didn't it? But if you're not going to buy all the players around him that they've undoubtedly told that they would, then obviously he's going to come a cropper in the end. But you never know. It could be the making of Spurs as well, because everything did revolve around Harry, didn't it? So go into the market now. You've got Richarlison up front, but go into the market for maybe a outstanding young forward that maybe they can bring along. That's what they need.
They might need the Brighton magic because they're always so brilliant at doing that. Can I just turn our thoughts to Wolves as well? What the hell is going on at Wolves? That is becoming a right mess, isn't it?
Yeah, I was delighted to see that one player.
All the players are up for sale, yeah.
Yeah, one player, Max Kilman, who used to be at Maidenhead with Alan Devonshire, you'll know, boys. He's just signed a 5-year contract, but it's looking bad for Wolves, isn't it? It's looking bad. How they could have got so far so quickly, and then you can feel that the slump's going to come. a bit like maybe Leeds did when they spent all that money when they got up there and then they sunk so badly down, didn't they?
Who's your three to go, Tone?
Three to go, you'd have to say the Sheffield United and Luton, you would say. And then you've got one between quite a few clubs. Depends who keeps hold of their players in the next few weeks, PSC, or brings people in as well to supplement what they got. Because there'd be quite a few clubs hoping that they get off to a decent start. Football's so instant now that these first half a dozen games, you know, people will panic. Chairmen, CEOs, owners all over. First six games, if you haven't got 6 points on the table at least, then they're all going to start panicking, aren't they? And the old exit door's going to go. And
well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the shutting of the transfer window that panics. I mean, years ago, you'd worry about the first 10 games. But now, because of the window, that changes the whole thing. And that's probably why it's more instant.
I'm going for the two you said plus Wolves. Terry, what are you going for?
I don't know. I've got a feeling that I think Luton might. I don't know why Luton. Here we go again. Luton might. They might. I mean, the thing about Luton is that, you know, they don't like it up them in the Premier League, and they proved that that's how they play. Now, I don't know if they can keep that up for that many games. So I think Sheffield will go down. I think Burnley might go down, you know. I've got a feeling that he'll leave Burnley and go, someone will poach him, old company.
I think with Luton, and Jonathan saw him at the weekend, and I spoke to Mickey Arthur, speak to him quite a lot, actually, and their home form, like Nottingham Forest home form, kept them up last season. Their first home games against West Ham when the stadium's had its reparations done. So their home form is going to be a key. Tight pitch. I know
that's exactly, and they don't like it up them, and they like that. Exactly right, Tony. It's nice. It's a tight ground. Even the seats are tight. You know, you go there as an away fan, you can't bloody move.
And I just wonder how they're going to fit the squads of the Premier League and all their masseurs and psychologists in their dressing rooms.
Maybe they don't need all that. They can prove it.
I mean, that's a subject for another podcast. How many people are involved now? It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'll tell you what, they've got over Christmas, they've got Newcastle and Chelsea at home. Christmas fixtures are so unpredictable. With that atmosphere at Kenilworth Road rocking for those two games, there might be an upset in one, maybe both of them, and that might be a little bit of a kickstart for the season, but I can't see them staying up. Look, we've run out of time.
Before you go, a little bit of trivia. How many people in a dressing room on match day? Average, 45.
What? NFL?
Not in the lower leagues, Premier Leagues.
In and out
of dressing rooms, eh?
That's crazy.
Here's another bit of trivia just before we come to the end. How many people can now stand on the touchline in the technical area? How many people can stand in the technical area?
Two.
The answer on the touchline is the one. Tony was putting up one finger.
Wow.
And only two can stand up, but the second one has to be back by the seats. No one else can stand up. Yellow card will... It's good.
By the way,
what
you said last season about how to put the keepers back on their line, just give them a yellow card. Happened the weekend.
Whatever happens to Harry Kane in Munich, he will not have the experience Tony Gale had with me sitting at a bar for breakfast. It was the morning after England had beaten Germany with Michael Owen's hat-trick in Munich. We sat there, and they're all coming past us going to their offices looking as if they were going to a funeral.
1st of September.
And we sat there with smiles on our faces, didn't we, Tom?
3rd of September, wasn't it? That was in 2001, that was.
What is the third significance, if that was that, till September the 1st? It's the launch of my book.
Oh! Yes!
And the book is called...
That's Entertainment.
Ah, fitting. Fitting. Well, I hope you've been entertained by this week's podcast.
Love it.
It's always great to get one out at the start of the season, eventually.
Hey! Tony Gale, thanks very much.
Thank you, Tel.
Jonathan Pearce, thanks very much. Until next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.